This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For Vietnam veterans, chemical exposure to Agent Orange created a range of health issues, from birth defects to cancer. Now, some officials are concerned that military members in Iraq and Afghanistan could face similar challenges. Veterans of those most recent wars were exposed to harmful chemicals from smoke created by large burn pits used by the military to dispose of waste. The pits are used to burn everything from human waste to jet fuel to electronics. More than 70,000 service members have reported health problems related to airborne hazards on the VA's online registry. North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis is among several politicians calling on the VA to address those concerns. Jay Price is WNC's military reporter, and he will tell us more. Welcome back, Jay.
Morning, Frank.
I just used the term burn pit, as though we all know what that is, but tell us, what is a burn pit?
Well, it varied quite a bit, but I think in its classic form, it was just what it sounds like. It's a big hole in the ground, sometimes acres and acres, where they would even bulldoze in tons of trash, up to 80,000, 90,000 pounds of it a day in some of the larger bases. And these things would have been just basically where they burned their waste. Now, a burn pit might be as large as I described it. It might be something as small as a 55-gallon drum on a tiny little outpost. There were, you know, by kind of official counts, about 197 of them in Afghanistan in 2011 and a little more than 60 in Iraq in 2009. But, you know, there would have been hundreds and hundreds, some of them quite large and some of them quite small.
And they're burning everything that would be considered waste in these compounds, which had thousands at some point, some of these as large as, you know, thousands of personnel, right?
Yeah, I mean, these places are small cities, and, you know, the Kandahar airfields of the world. There were several that were, you know, the size of a large town or small city, and they would have things like, you know, fairly large sewer systems, even bus lines. You have to think in terms of, you know, these are very sprawling places, and they have a lot of folks, and they fed tens of thousands a day in many cases. And there were a lot of disposable food things, you know, utensils that had to be tossed out. But there were also batteries, tires, medical waste, chemicals, all kinds of things. And some of it pretty bad stuff if you inhaled it when it was burning.
All right. So the VA did a study in 2011 about the effects of exposure to these pits. What did the VA find?
Well, the VA contends the studies so far are fairly rudimentary. They're really small cohort things usually, and there's not a lot of data. And the VA contends right now that there is no proof one way or the other that long-term – that there are long-term health effects from the exposure. But basically, that's because there's not enough data to know.
Well, for Cindy Amon, who is someone you spoke with about health concerns, there may not be enough data, but there certainly are concerns.
I mean, the smell was constant. You could smell it everywhere you went. I think for me, when I first noticed, I first started off, I was getting really bad nosebleeds, which I've never had before. And then I would blow my nose and all this black stuff would come out. And then towards the end of my deployment, I ended up with a really bad respiratory infection, and I kept going to the doctors on post and everything, and it took weeks. We couldn't get rid of it, and I would be up all night coughing with this deep cough, and we always made jokes about it because everyone called it the Iraqi crud, but it was miserable.
Service member Cindy Amon, who spoke with military reporter Jay Price, my guest today on The State of Things, talking about possible health hazards of these burn pits. How common is Cindy's story?
It's fairly common. I mean, the IAVA, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, did a survey of their membership recently and found that about three-quarters of them, the people who responded, had felt like they had been exposed to smoke from the burn pits, and about 60% had symptoms that they regarded as having come from that. Now, that said, burn pits is kind of the lurid version of it. It gives you a very strong visual of probably the worst single source of pollutants in the air there. But anybody who was there will tell you that the dust was omnipresent in a lot of these places, and it was pretty heavy at times. It would blot out the sun in the case of some pretty bad dust storms. I was in 24 of the bases on the short list of large bases with burn pits myself, and the smoke was kind of the least of it.
Well, that becomes part of the problem in this case, is to distinguish the various toxins and hazards that may have been in both Iraq and Afghanistan and different places, depending on where you were in Iraq and Afghanistan, that might have been existing without the burn pits. And obviously, service personnel are taking that into their lungs, distinguishing those hazards from the whatever toxins they may have gotten from burning trash, right?
Yeah, and one kind of measure about how elaborate the science has got that we're going to use on these things, the bill says the VA should consider building the center of excellence to do a better job treating these veterans who are exposed to the various toxins, should consider putting it in a place that has experience with a kind of an emerging new branch of science called medical geology. There aren't many medical geologists out there, but these are folks who can help them kind of untangle the various things that are in the lungs. They can say, okay, this dust came from the southern part of Afghanistan and it can have this effect. Or this particular toxin, oh, let's call it titanium from paint, probably came from exposure to burning chemicals. And they're examining biopsies of lungs of some of these veterans right now to get a better sense of what the exposures were and to help the doctors and public health experts kind of figure out where these diseases and conditions will head once they've been exposed to this, or this. And it's a pretty complex thing with all these kind of tendrils, because a specific veteran, Cindy, you just heard from, was on four different bases in different parts of the Middle East, and they all had different things in the air. Some of them would have had exposure to open sewage from being downwind from a large city somewhere. The dust was different in different places. It was made up of different things. The weather didn't help. You end up with this weird stew in your lungs.
So we're talking about this bill co-sponsored by North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis and others. It has bipartisan support, at least in its sponsorship. Tell us what else the bill would do.
Well, it would basically have the VA concentrate more on treating the conditions of these people who think they were exposed and have symptoms of the various illnesses. They can't really say for sure if any one given person, because of the research is still in its kind of nascent stages, they can't really say if one particular case was caused by this or was it may have been caused by exposure to something back home. But they are going to be forced to concentrate more on treating the veterans who were exposed, and it's practically everybody who went over. And also to support the research that's going on, there's kind of a building wave of research kind of based on the registry you refer to, the VA registry of people who feel like they were exposed. They're able to go down that list now and find subjects for studies to do proper research, and the center would support more of that.
You know, it's interesting that you talked about these compounds, many of them the size of small cities. They had sewage systems, bus systems, obviously elaborate ways to feed people, keep the fuel coming and going, communications networks. Why weren't there incinerators? This seems to be a basic need. And you know, when you put tens of thousands of people in one place, you got to have waste. And there are environmental hazards associated with burning that waste. Why were there no incinerators?
Well, when you go into a war, how long are you going to be there? Do you know that going in? Probably not. And do you know how many people you're going to have there for X amount of time? Will you need this amount of incinerators for that? So kind of late in the game, they did ship over incinerators. By 2010, the military shipped almost 40 to Iraq and about 20 to Afghanistan. Some service members say that those didn't get a whole lot of use. But, you know, even those things wouldn't have covered all the bases. There were hundreds and hundreds of bases in both of those, you know, outposts as small as four people, for example. But, you know, I was in some that were company size. It might have been 100, 110 people in a very temporary compound. And they're going to dispose of the waste any way that they can. And they're not going to want to go outside the wire in some of these places where we were getting hit like every hour or two. Nobody wants to be the last Marine to die for taking out the garbage, basically. So they're going to dispose of it on the base.
What about the impact? Of course, a lot of military personnel here and bases in North Carolina. Will it have an impact, this legislation? Would it have an impact here in North Carolina?
Well, you know, we have several hundred thousand veterans here, and probably on the order, a substantial number of those would have served in Iraq and Afghanistan and been exposed to these things. And the more attention the thing gets and the more research that you have solid answers about what the health effects might look like, the better for them. They'll know what to expect if they're going to see problems from this.
Jay Price, military reporter here at WUNC. Jay, always good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Just ahead, a former prosecutor turns to fiction. Allison Liotta's novel addresses sexual assaults on college campuses. We will talk with her next on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.